this meeting took place when he was very high up with his clearances. Otherwise, they wouldn't have came to him. He had already worked on all the manned spaceflight missions, the Apollo, the Gemini, all through those, all the way into the shuttle program. And when he retired, that's what he was working on. Amidst all that, he was involved with the Trident missile program, and he had gained clearances through that. Around 93 is basically when he told me about this. It was back near 1970 or 71 when this took place, because he was doing a lot of odd things and staying away from the house for like a week or 2 weeks at a time. He was involved in the Trident missile at that time.
Okay, so that I understand, he is describing to you an event that took place in the 1970 to 71 time frame when he worked on the Trident missile system.
Yes.
And he is at the Sunnyvale Lockheed Martin facility.
Yes, that's correct. And then the first thing that he explained to me is he went through about 10 minutes of describing how the CIA was involved in his job, how the CIA would keep tabs on even me and my brother. They would know where we were at any time. We were being closely watched because of the clearances that he had gotten. He told me that he was called in on a meeting to go to a certain building, and at that building, when he went into the building, there were four other engineers. I don't know if they were all from that Lockheed facility. Some might have been from Southern California, maybe out in Georgia, but they all convened at this building in Sunnyvale, California. There were my father plus four other engineers. They were in a room. They waited there. Five gentlemen came in. They were all five of them dressed in black. I hate to use the word men in black because it sounds so like movie-ish or something, but one of the gentlemen had on a white shop coat. And he was carrying a very sophisticated-looking aluminum briefcase. It had lights on it. They went through their secrecy. You know, they were talked to and told that this is top secret. You can't talk about it. And they signed some papers. They were escorted into another room. Just the gentleman with the white shop coat went with them to this other room. So there's the man in black with the shop coat and the briefcase, and then five engineers, including my father. The gentleman with the briefcase put the briefcase on the table. He went through some process there to open it. He took out what my father described as a 6 by 6 inch piece of aluminum, flat, and he laid it on the table, closed the briefcase, picked up the piece of aluminum, and wadded it with one hand, like he would wad up a piece of aluminum foil. He had his hand closed down, placed that in my dad's open hand, and my dad watched it as it uncrinkled itself slowly and ended up in a flat configuration again. No wrinkles, no lines, no nothing, smooth as glass. This process went through all the other four engineers. When they finished doing that, the gentleman took out the briefcase, a little small propane torch, I believe, heated this material up. My dad said he was using like pliers to hold the material, and he heated this piece of aluminum till it was glowing orange. My dad said there was areas that were white because it was so hot. And then he took that piece and he put it in my father's hand. My father said it did not burn him. That's what he was concerned. He said, it's going to burn my skin off. Put it in my father's hand. He felt a slight bit of heat from it, but nothing compared to something that's 2,200 degrees. I've worked with metal, not aluminum, but I know that when it's orange, it's above 2,000 degrees. The material was placed in my father's hands while it was still orange, and it remained orange all through every one of the other engineers getting that piece put in their hand so they could feel it.
So how is it possible that something that we know terrestrially, when it's orange and metal, is 2,000 or above degrees, how could they have ever had it in their hands without being burned?
He said it wasn't from here. because nothing we have on this planet could do that. I think he came to the conclusion that that piece of material came out of Roswell, and they were still trying to figure out what its content was, what it was made of.
Your father, working at Sunnyvale Lockheed Martin facility in 1970 to 71, then 20 years later, was telling you what happened, and that in the early 70s, they still had no idea what or how metal that was retrieved from some kind of UFO vehicle could operate the way it did, crumpling, coming back flat, being exposed to 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit temperature, and they could still handle it in their hands. This was still a huge unknown.
It would seem so. If they had already analyzed this material and knew what it was, they wouldn't be turning to top engineers within the Lockheed structure to seek help trying to understand what this was.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't necessarily mean it came from the July 4th, 1947 incident. It could have come from some after. It could have come from the downing of a craft in Mexico. I believe the CIA has intervened all over the world in getting vehicles. But it was definitely not anything that was manufactured on this planet.
Right. Did anybody explain to him about who the five men dressed in black who had the silver metal briefcase that had lights on it, who they were?
They were with the Central Intelligence Agency. After my father passed away, I talked to his brother. And this is very interesting. I went to my uncle, who's my father's brother, and I told him I had something that I desperately needed to talk to him about. So we went out on the porch, and I proceeded to go through exactly what I told you and told him the story. Never once did he show any kind of emotion on his face, just quietly listened. And I said, well, do you think this is true? Do you believe it? And he looked at me without expression, and he said, I know it's true. And I said, what do you mean you know it's true? He says, because my brother-in-law was there during the meeting. I says, oh, he was an engineer. He said, no, he was CIA.
Did either your father or your father's brother ever indicate to you when they were alive that they had firsthand knowledge that we were not alone and that extraterrestrial technology was a major priority in the United States government?
They didn't talk to me directly about that. Especially my uncle, but my father always seemed to walk around like he knew the truth. At the time when he was alive, I was doing a lot of research, and I might have spent 10 minutes telling him some stuff that I found out, and he would say to me, you have no idea. He would hint or give me some other indication that he knew it was true already. I would walk away convinced that's what he was telling me. He was telling me, yeah, you're on the right track.
Your father, being a man of few words, chuckling and saying you have no idea when you are talking about four different races of extraterrestrial biological entities, is saying a lot.
Well, he always told me that what I was doing was dangerous.
Why should it be dangerous?
I have no idea what his meaning of dangerous was. It involved the CIA. It involved secrets that are supposed to stay secret. And it just the fact that he's telling me, don't say anything about this until I'm dead, it had a great deal of secrecy and importance to somebody.
In the end of his life, he died in what year?
2011, January.
And his brother died?
Before Christmas.
Of 2014?
Yes.
He did say those words, don't say anything about this to anyone until I'm dead.
Yes, he did.
That's why you feel that you can come to me now in April of 2015.
Yeah, and it angers me that there are people out there that have all this control and they could care less about the rest of the human race.